Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday. That's right. We made it to the end of another week in the offseason, that much closer to training camp and actual football being among us once again. But in the meantime, we'll have to settle for mandatory minicamp, which kicks off next Tuesday through Thursday. All 3 days, scheduled media availability. We'll be able to overreact to each and every practice all throughout the week. We'll see if Matt LaFleur keeps with tradition and issues practice on Thursday next week and does some kind of team building activity. I suspect there's a chance, I don't know how good it is, but there's a chance that maybe he actually utilizes all 3 days of minicamp this year, simply because of the OTAs being somewhat pushed back on the practice field because the draft was in Green Bay. And that first week of off-season activity and work was had to be done virtually. So maybe we get all 3 days of practice next week in minicamp. And mandatory it is. So we will see if Elgton Jenkins and Jaire Alexander are in attendance. I suspect they will be, but we shall see. Something to keep in mind as we approach the end of off-season work. By next Friday, everyone will be out on the first thing smoking out of Green Bay for the beginning of their summer break. Then you got a couple weeks, that stretch of time where you just hold your breath and hope there are no unfortunate headlines before we all reconvene again on July 23rd for the first training camp practice back in Green Bay. Be here before you know it, folks. Hope you're all having a great time. Hope you're all about to have a great weekend. Wherever you're doing, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, hope you'll be safe, have a lot of fun. Get back here next week. I'll be here all 3 days of minicamp talking about it with you fine folks, though I will not be here in the studio. I will be in other environs, but I won't miss a day. You couldn't pay me to miss minicamp. Come on, you know that's exciting. I can't wait. I know you guys can't wait. Hello to everybody in the comments section. So good to see everybody already mixing it up. Of course, we have to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. Based in Wisconsin since 1992, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger group to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage or, indeed, in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. What's going on, everybody? Jim's here, of course. Guitar Ted, how are you? Hope you're well. Dennis, thanks for checking in. Always good to see the stalwart regulars. Chuck Olson, this is an incredible first question right out of the gate. Even before we started, you threw it up here, so let me answer you. Aaron, since you were a theater kid and also a player, were you ever interested in professional wrestling as a kid? Now, I don't know what you mean by a player, sir. Sounds like an accusation. But if you mean a football player, I was for a very brief time before I went theater full-time because you couldn't do both because, you know, you have to rehearse or practice. You got to choose. But yes, I did partake in both. But as far as professional wrestling, no, that was a bug that never bit, never really understood it, never really got it. To this day, I think it's kind of ridiculous, but that's just me. I understand there are legit millions of people who disagree with me, and more power to them. That's awesome. I'm glad they have a good time. It is just not my bag. This is not for me, and that's fine. But my favorite memory growing up regarding professional wrestling was that I think it was a Nightline interview, but somebody was doing like an expose about, because back when I was growing up, it was like the scandal was that professional wrestling wasn't real and that it was all scripted, which of course today is hilarious because of course it is. But back then it was, oh, this was this deep journalistic, you know, deep dive into whether professional wrestling was real or not. And I remember one of the wrestlers, I don't remember which wrestler it was, got very upset at the journalist, at the guy with the microphone who was trying to do the interview. And he said, so, you know, some people say it's fake. What do you have to say about that? And he goes, was this fake? And then he legit just cold clocks the guy live on camera and then proceeds to like strike him a few more times. And every time he's like, is that fake? You think that's fake? That's my overriding memory of professional wrestling. But that was a long time ago. Dale Norton's here. What's up, Dale? Good afternoon from Carmel, Indiana. Okay, well, not in London. Good to see you, buddy. Last Son of Krypton, how are you? Thanks for the super chat, man. 200-300-pound-plus defensive tackles, a healthy Kenny Clark. I cannot wait. Man, from your super chat to the football god's ears, let's keep them all intact for week one and beyond, right? Let's do that. Alex says, Matt LaFleur, expand the damn playbook for Jordan Love and lead the offense. Now. I mean, Matt's had a pretty damn good track record in his time in Green Bay of continuing to move forward and having a playbook that is pretty expansive. And yes, did he probably dial it back a little bit last year when Jordan was coming back from injury and run the ball a hell of a lot more than maybe we're accustomed to? Yeah, no doubt. But I do think that was a prudent course of action. I do think with a healthy Jordan Love, you'll see the return of a bit more balance. But I don't think you should be expecting an abandonment of a power running game and of Josh Jacobs seeing a ton of touches. I think that is here to stay as long as LaFleur and Jacobs are both in the same town. What else we got here, folks? Kyle, thanks for the super chat, man. Ticket King since the late 90s, more like late 1900s. Sorry, I'm old too. Kyle. And they've been around for a while. And I know the early 90s feels like a long time ago. It was a glorious time, the early 90s. I was just watching. There is a account on Instagram that is just Brett Favre highlights. And today's highlight was a touchdown throw to Keith Jackson, back of the end zone at Lambeau. And it was clearly like late season Lambeau. Those like 90s teams, like leading up to 96, 97, those late October, early November games, that was some special shit, man. I know, like, I'm an old head and I say, or I talk about this kind of thing probably way too much here on the internet, but you cannot describe to people who weren't there how special that time was because they had been so terrible for all of our lives. And then to suddenly have this amazing quarterback throwing touchdowns to all world tight ends. I mean, and then the celebration and just the vibe at Lambeau, the invincible feeling, Brett Favre, home field, Holmgren calling plays, Shurmur calling the defense. You just knew you were going to win. Like, you can't recreate it. You can't bottle it. But, man, I wish I could go back and feel it again and appreciate it way more than I did then. Because, wow, that was a special time. Special time at Lambeau. Joseph, thanks for checking out the stream, man. The cognitive dissonance between wanting to enjoy summer weather and wishing it was football season. See, I understand that's probably how most people operate, Joseph, but I most certainly am not one of those folks. I just want to skip the summer weather and get right to football season. I can't stand summer. I hate it. It's been hot here in New York the last couple of days. I'm already over it. You guys have fun at the beach. I'll be in the studio, and I'll see you when they kick off. That's how I roll. I know your mileage may vary, but I think, Joseph, you probably do speak for a whole ton of people, no doubt about it. Ed, thanks to Super Chat, man. Has anyone ever done a documentary on Willie Davis? He is certainly deserving of one. No, and you know what's funny is Corey and I have batted that around a couple of times, specifically because of the pass rush stuff and the sack numbers and things like that, how he is truly the Green Bay Packers sack leader. We've talked about doing something along those lines, but I'd love to also do something just about the man himself, right? Yeah, but as far as I know, I think there are a couple of old school, like NFL films, maybe even some like local television things that were done on Willie, but I don't recall a specific like documentary that was made about Willie Davis, which would be very, very cool. Funko? That's a $1 million question right there. Is Matt LaFleur the issue from getting us over the hump, or is it players slash coaches? Well, he is a coach. Not hating on Matt because I love him, but just wondering. I think the Packers will win a championship with Matt LaFleur as their head coach. That's where I stand. I understand that there are frustrations along the way. There have certainly been moments where he makes you want to pull your hair out. And he has some stubbornness to him, as does every single NFL coach I've ever met or talked to or covered or been a fan of, right? But Matt is one of the best offensive minds in the game, and he is becoming one of the best head coaches in the game. I know there are game management things that are frustrating, but look no further than Andy Reid, who was absolutely inept when it came to game management when he was the Eagles head coach. I mean, you talk about timeout usage. It was a complete dumpster fire. And he went on to become one of the greatest modern coaches we've ever seen and has won multiple championships, etc. I'm not saying Matt is going to be Andy Reid, but Matt can win a championship, and I think he will win a championship in Green Bay. That's where I'm at. Your mileage may vary. Let's see what we got here, folks. Carrie, how are you? Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. So a Sunday night football game with Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. This will be a special game. I can't wait to see this with Cheesehead TV, Nags. What will the beverage and food of the night? Well, you know, as usual, I will certainly be drinking some Carry the G, but yeah, I don't know. As far as the spread that evening in late October, got to suspect hopefully the weather will have changed over by then and they'll be able to fire up the grill but still be able to, you know, have a full spread. We'll see. Long way to go, but I am very, very, very excited. No doubt about it. Alex says, Andy Reid knows players more than Matt LaFleur, though. Well, now he does, yeah. Guys, he didn't just arrive. It didn't just happen. You've clearly forgotten, you know, the early tenure of Andy Reid in Philadelphia. And that's not to say Andy wasn't a good coach there, because he certainly was. They got to how many NFC championship games? But it is a process. It is a growth process. And like I said, I think Matt is learning and has learned a whole hell of a lot as the head coach. Now, you know, you can also kind of delineate his time as the head coach with Aaron as his quarterback, and then his time as a head coach with a brand new Jordan Love as his quarterback, and a very young, literally the youngest team in the NFL. And he has done a pretty damn phenomenal job in that regard. You know, yeah, every situation is different. There's a ton of context that goes into it. I do get a little defensive when people are so dismissive of Matt, because I don't think they understand how good they have it, as usual. It's usually what everybody else has and is doing, as opposed to appreciating what you have. Joseph, maybe what Matt LaFleur needs is a few more cheeseburgers a la Reed. I will say Matt has done a phenomenal job of keeping off the 10 or 15 pounds that seems to accompany every head coach who, you know, resides in Green Bay for, you know, over 5 years. I mean, all you got to do is look at the, you know, year one picture of Mike Sherman to year, you know, five or six, and same thing with Mike McCarthy. It's very different. It's a very different world you're living in after those 5 or 6 years. But you know, LaFleur seems to have staved that off. As he joked the other day, he's a specimen. Good stuff. Jim says we could have another Lindy Infante. Fun fact, Lindy Infante won the Coach of the Year award. How funny would that be if he was, you know, the only Packers coach in the modern era to ever win Coach of the Year? Pretty funny. Legless, thoughts? Legless, you know me. I've got so many thoughts. All the thoughts. Every bit of the thoughts. You can't tell me for thoughts. The Culver's diet, cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger. That's a good diet. I like that. I mean, that's the thing. You're so used to being around Lambeau, and the dining options have improved. Let's say that, right? From back in the day. What else we got here, folks? Record speaks for itself. I assume you mean Matt LaFleur's record, which has been pretty good. So, yeah, definitely. What else we got here, folks? I don't want to miss anybody. Okay, we got people throwing up random Packer games now. 04 versus Rams, Monday Night Football. I got to say, that is a random game. I always think of, when I think of Packers versus the Rams, and there are a bunch to choose from, there's no doubt about it. But I always remember the game in 96 on the road where it was tough in that first half, and it looked like, oh gosh, is this season about to derail, and maybe they're too hurt and they're not going to be able to get over the hump. And then they came out in the second half, got a turnover, and they were away running, basically ran away with it. That game was such a fulcrum point of that 96 season that doesn't get remembered a whole lot, but it's a very important game in the history of the Packers and winning a championship. Ed, thanks for the super chat, man. Willie was one of four candidates for NFL commissioner before Tagliabue, just part of his past playing career. Interesting guy. Incredibly interesting guy. I wish I would have been able to talk to him at some point at length. I never really was. I met him in passing once or twice, but never got to have a real conversation with him. But yeah, he was a very interesting cat, no doubt about it. Rick Harris, thanks for the super chat, man. Bill Curry did an NFL film short on Willie Davis. I remember that. Yes, that's what I think I had in mind when I was talking about NFL films. They are few and far between, but you hear what his coaches and teammates talked about when in regards to Willie Davis. You don't have to go very far to hear, just how special he was. No doubt about that. Robin, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member, man. Hey, Nags, having so many connotations of offensive line is a good thing or unnecessary challenges? P.S. Love you, man. Back at you, Robin. Thanks so much. You know, I've come around on this because I used to think it was a lot of unnecessary nonsense, right? Like you're just kind of making things complicated and making things more difficult for yourself as a coaching staff, as a game designer, what have you. But man, I'll tell you what, and I think I've said this a couple times now over the past 2 years or so. If there's a staff and there's a coach that has shown they can make it work to their advantage, it's Matt and this Packers offensive staff, right? All my life, it's always been continuity. It's been drilled into me as the most important thing along the offensive line. But I do think because of the way the new collective bargaining agreement has completely changed how you work, not just what you can do, but how you're able to. You can't, you know, there's so little padded work. There's so little time on the grass that's even allowed, let alone available, that you probably are better off as an offense and as a staff training these guys up in a number of different spots, because injuries are going to occur. That's just a natural part of the game, right? The Packers got really lucky in that regard right until the playoff game last season, as far as being able to roll the same guys out there week after week for the most part. Now, obviously, there were games here and there, but by and large, they were really blessed with, you know, injury luck, so to speak, up front on offense last year. That's not always going to be the case. In fact, it's rarely the case. All of that is a long way to say, like, it helps you in this modern era where you don't have a ton of time to become, to gain that continuity. Yes, you do have practice during the summer and training camp and the pads come on and there is physical kind of aspects that you're allowed to do, but it's nowhere near what it used to be. I remember talking to Dave Bakhtiari about this years ago. You know, I mean, the kind of plague that has hit offensive line play, not just in the pros, but in college. It's just, it's hard. It's an epidemic, really. And that's why, you know, again, talking about being appreciative of what you have, the Packers have done such an amazing job of growing an offensive line. And part of that aspect has been finding athletes that can play multiple spots. And to your point, I know it feels like sometimes you want to say, just let it be, like, let it alone. Like, this guy's playing well here. Like, just let him play there. But then, you know, disaster strikes, you got a couple of injuries, and now rather than having to count on deep depth that, you know, who knows what's going to happen there as far as their ability to step in, and you don't have to change your offense as a play caller, as opposed to having to hide guys and call things that, okay, because I don't trust this guy or this combination of guys to do what I need them to do up front, so I've got to kind of ignore that part of the playbook, etc. The Packers are able to move a Zach Tom someplace else, move an Elgton Jenkins because they need to. And now, you know, they've obviously got other guys in the hopper. They got Sean Ryan able to bounce between center and guard. You know, all of that in this day and age, I think, is a good thing. That's why I say I used to really kind of, I didn't understand it, didn't think it was smart. But now I think especially in today's NFL, I think it's a kind of a secret weapon that the Packers have. Javier. Thunder or Pacers? Man, I truly don't care. You guys know I don't watch the NBA, but I will say I did watch the end of the game last night, and holy shit, man, the Pacers, you can't deny it. You cannot deny that devil magic. You know I saw my, you know, Knicks friends talking about PTSD there when the Pacers came back. I it looks like it's going to be a good series. I'll say that, which I know the general consensus had been, at least from what I'd read online, that it was not going to be. Sign me up for a bunch of games like that last night. That was fun. But as far as like who I'm rooting for, I don't care. Andrew Ware, thanks for the super chat, man. Listening to you yesterday on Daily talk about Rodgers maybe leaning on the run game to be successful in Pittsburgh, to quote C-3PO, I wish I had your confidence. October will be fun. I hear you. I think he's going to surprise. I was on Blue Sky with Dusty, I think last night, earlier today, saying the same thing. I know the prevailing sentiment, and I know Soder, maybe you're lurking right now, Eeyore himself is saying, like, you know, Rodgers is going to be able to resist going deep to DK Metcalf on third and short. And yes, I'm sure we'll see that. I'm sure that will occur. But I do think, on balance, Arthur Smith, that running game, going to put Rodgers in a lot of manageable situations. And I'll tell you what, I like four-time MVP Hall of Fame-bound Aaron Rodgers in manageable situations. Much more than, say, like, well, it's third and 13 and you got to make a miracle happen, right? I'm just saying, that's, I think he's going to surprise a lot of folks. This Robin Soder is always present. This is true. This is true. There he is. There's Soder. I knew he was here. All right, buddy. I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. Go Pack, go.